Well, good morning. Good morning. I thought for a moment my microphone hadn't worked. Great to be together today and to be able to sing songs to the Lord. Thankful for that focus. Thankful for the opportunity to remind ourselves the Lord is great. And so why don't you go ahead and grab your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verses 14 to 21. This morning we're going to be thinking about planting gospel churches. That's what God's Word directs us to think about this morning. And through the eyes of Paul as he writes to his friends in the church in Rome. So let me read, and then I'm going to pray, and then we'll think about what these things mean for us today. This is what God's Word has to say to us this morning. I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and are able to instruct one another. But in some points I've written to you very boldly by way of reminder because of the grace given to me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God, for I will not venture to speak of anything except for what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God. So that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ, and thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. But as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. Let's pray, and then we'll think about these things. Father, we are thankful to you for your grace and your greatness that we've been able to sing of this morning. And Father, we pray that you would meet us in your grace and you would remind us of your greatness now as we turn to your word, that you would create a fresh reliance within us on your grace and a fresh resolve to live for your greatness and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So it's nice to be back. Thankful for Michael and Derek preaching over the last couple of Sundays for us. Thankful for their ministry, praying for fruit from that. We were praying for you all as we were traveling. I'm just back from a 10-day trip to visit a couple of partner churches in the USA. We visited as a family. We got to visit Doxa Church in Rockland, North California. And then Alison and the kids flew home last Friday, and I flew up to our friend to spend time with our friends at Reclamation Church in Monroeville, which is just outside Pittsburgh. And then amongst all of that, I got to thank them. They've really been great partners over. We've got so many great partners. We're going to speak about a bunch of them today. But I got in particular to thank those two churches for how they've invested in the work that the Lord is doing here. And so I'm going to put a picture up here. This is us, as a family. We had lunch with the lady at the back. They're standing at the back. There's Patricia Hunstock. She is the one who provided the funds for the church house to be renovated as a legacy for her husband who died a few years ago. And so we get an opportunity to go and spend time with her and some of her friends and to express our thanks to her and to her daughter who also had lunch with us. So really what we did over the 10 days was to spend time in people who have invested their time and their resources to come here, either like Patricia did in terms of investing financially in what's going on here, or whether it was in teams to build the building work in the house alongside folks from our church here, but also to serve our kids and youth like the team did in the summer who came from Reclamation Church. And maybe just to say at the beginning, they all send their love and their greetings to you all. We had a lot of time eating food. We ate a lot of meat, which made my heart so glad. And so we got a lot of opportunity to eat basically barbecued beef, which was pretty much the staple diet of our trip. But really just a great time and fun for me to hear just how they'd been impacted by their time here, how much they loved our church family here, how much they loved people who'd hosted them in their homes, invited them for meals, and worked alongside them in the different tasks they came to do in the first place. So they send their love and greetings, but in amongst all of that, they also communicated all the church leadership folks that we met and communicated their ongoing commitment to partner with us in what the Lord has called us to do here, which is an awesome thing. And so right now, as we turn to think about this idea of planting gospel churches, maybe just to kind of frame this up with an understanding of what our current setting is around about that here and through Rooted Churches, which is the banner under which we're planting churches. Right now, we have a job advert running for church planters, and that's going to be funded by partner churches. That's going to be funded by church planters who are going to partner with us in doing that. So Doxa are one of those churches. Reclamation are another of those churches. Radiant Bible Church in Indianapolis, who came and helped run do childcare during the conference. They've committed to doing that. And North River Church in Parish, Florida, who there are four people from their church came over and spent time with us. They've also committed. So those four churches are going to totally fund that church planting post whenever we have somebody who's a suitable candidate who puts their hand up for that. So you can be praying for that job advert as it's out just now, that the Lord would raise up the right people to be involved in that. So we're thankful for those who are willing to partner with us in what we're looking to do this morning, which is planting what we're looking at this morning, which is planting gospel churches. And Romans 15 directs us to think about what it means to be a church where there is an environment conducive to gospel spread by church planting. And it's easy for us to think, when we think about something like church planting, that we're here and all of that is going on out there, and it's nothing to do with what goes on here. But that would be to make a mistake. What happens in here is massively, what happens in this room and what happens in this church, what happens in Harvest Air is massively significant to what we seek to do as we seek to plant churches around about Scotland, around about the UK, wherever the Lord will allow us to do that. Because what happens in here is what happens among us, we hope will be an example environment, an example church family for people who come and train and are assessed for church planting and then sent out to plant churches. So everybody sat in a seat here this morning has an invaluable role to play in what I think Romans 15 is directing us to think about this morning. And so here's what I've been thinking about while I've been away. We have these partners who are willing to invest in what's going on here. But what does it look like for us all to partner together here in pursuing church planting with one another? What would God seek to do among us at Harvest Glasgow? What would He seek to do in your life and in my life and in our life together in order for the seed of gospel churches to be scattered all over the nation? I'm reminded of, in preparation for this morning, I've been reminded of a couple of things that we said in the earliest days of Harvest Glasgow when we were just starting out some 15 years ago. One of the things we said often was this: all it takes is all you have. So what does it take to plant a church? What does it take to plant a Harvest Air? What does it take to plant a Harvest Glasgow? What does it take to plant more churches? All it takes is all you have. It's all of us seeing the glory of God through the planting of gospel churches as being a worthwhile life investment. That's something that's worth us giving our lives to. It's willingly lending our commitment and our capacity to what God would seek to do among us here as well. So it's turning up to gather together like this on a Sunday morning. It's showing up for when we gather together to pray. It's gathering together in small groups and saying that's not something I'm going to miss out on. It's gathering together as men tonight. Hopefully you're going to take the Harvest Men. Hopefully you're going to take the opportunity to gather together as Harvest Men with one another this evening and really sharpen one another and strengthen one another, because this matters to the gospel mission that we've been given here. It's taking time in a Saturday morning once a month to gather as Harvest Ladies and making that an inviolable commitment. It's being a community of God's people where we're pouring into one another, investing in one another. And not just when the church is meeting, not just when there's church events on, but we're on text with one another. We're meeting up for coffee with one another. We're looking for opportunities to be church family, to be a community of God's people with one another. All it takes is all you have. Are you willing to invest yourself in that way? The other was this: somebody said to us right at the beginning was encouraging us to grasp the opportunity that came with being the few who do the much to serve the many. The few who do the much to serve the many. It's basically seeing that there's great need, great gospel need in our nation. We know that there's some 5.5 million people who live in Scotland. And great gospel need. We know that the church, people who are even attending church, never mind those who have faith in Jesus, are in decline. Are we going to be people who are among the few who do the much to serve the many? Are we awake to the opportunity that, are you awake, am I awake to the opportunity that our lives get to be involved in changing eternities? Well, while I was at, so that, a couple of, the, my recent visit to Doxa was my second visit in the last year. Last year, I got the opportunity to hang out with a guy called Max Monaghan, who Doxa Church planted in a town called Folsom, which, if you are familiar with Johnny Cash, you'll know about Folsom Prison. So that's the town. Okay, so he planted basically right beside the prison. If you don't know Johnny Cash, you can disregard that comment. Okay. So Max and his wife Alexa, they were part of a team, so I got to spend time with them and a guy and a couple. The guy's now an elder there as well. So Doxa planted Max Monaghan near in Folsom while I was at Reclamation Church. So I stood up to preach first service. Jeremiah Canfield, the lead pastor there, introduced me. He then ran off because they were launching. They were launching the first service of a church plant that Sunday. So he prayed for me, introduced me, prayed for me, ran to the service there, prayed for the service, attended the launch service of the church plant, and came back in time for the second service to close out for me. He was busy. I thought I was busy. I preached three services last Sunday and the Sunday before. I thought that's like a month and a half's work for me. But he ran to there. While that was happening, one of our oldest plant. Actually, in the evening, I got to hang out with one of their other church planters who's planted south of Monroeville to watch the Pittsburgh Steelers game and just hang out with him and his family, and that was a lot of fun. And on Monday morning, I met with their staff, including a guy who they have in the GCC church plant training process, who they will send out in due course probably in the next couple of years as well. So it's also amazing to be just in amongst all of that. While all of that was happening, our oldest partner, Church Harvest Barry, were launching a church plant or a church campus in the town of Alliston, which isn't far from Barry, but that's been something they've been praying for years. And so they've sent out, Pastor Patrice has gone out with to plant a, you can tell you're in Canada, which has got a kind of French name, right? And he went out to plant. They've planted a campus there, so with the opportunity of additional reach that comes with that. I came back on Tuesday and Thursday. I serve as a Scotland tutor for Crosslands Seminary, and so we had seven students, including four new guys who'd come in, and they represent a whole bunch of churches. But in particular, there's a guy there who's at Charlotte Chapel in Edinburgh. He's a pastor in training, and once he finishes in the next year or two, he's going to go back to France to plant a church with the Pillar Network, which Charlotte Chapel are key in organising Pillar Scotland. Liam Garvey, my good friend there, is heading up Pillar International, and they're looking to plant as many churches as they can. There's a guy came up from Seagate Church in Troon, who's the associate pastor there, and they're helping with some church revitalization work that's going on down there as well. All that to say, that I feel as if I've been surrounded by church planting for the last couple of weeks, and it's been an awesome and encouraging thing. So their heart for planting, I think, is the same heart that we read for here in Romans 15. And honestly, I'm praying it's true for us at Harvest Glasgow as well. So when we are talking about planting gospel churches, what do we mean? And this may be the longest introduction ever, I realize. Four things are happening in Romans 15. Four things were being shown in Romans 15, I think, that I would really pray that God is making true in us and through us. First of all is this. The first thing that Paul identifies is he writes to the church in Rome, that the church in Rome was a place of growing investment. And my prayer is that we would be a place of growing investment in one another. Look what he says, verse 14. I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. A place of growing investment. Listen, we can only plant churches when we are a people unified in our pursuit of growing in the things of the Lord together. Otherwise, what is the point? We can only plant churches when we are a people, a church family unified in our pursuit of growing in the things of the Lord together. Just look what it says. I'm satisfied that yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. We may identify in that a growing sense of character, growing sense of convictions, growing sense of community. And that forms the foundation of the kind of mission that God calls the church to, as the kind of church that God is calling us to be. It's an encouraging thing. Paul is looking at the church in Rome and expressing a level of confidence in their spiritual direction and health. He is satisfied, he says, he is persuaded even of three areas of growth among them. First of all, that they are full of goodness. That's a character piece. That's a character piece that's called for from all of us. Are we growing in godly character? That happens when we are intent on becoming more and more like Jesus. It's setting aside greed and it's setting aside grievance. It's asking God to grow us instead in grace so that we increasingly reflect the goodness of God. I wonder, does it ever occur to you that that would be a good thing to pray for yourself? Lord, make me full of goodness. It's not something, I think there's lots of things we pray, but I don't know that's necessarily one of the things, but that is one of the things that Paul celebrates. That's the character thing that Paul celebrates in them. So how do we become full of goodness? Well, we become full of goodness when we are full of God. But we struggle to be full of God because we are so full of the world. I'm trying to think of an illustration of this. I like cakes, so it seems like a good place to start. And so it's imagining eating donuts an hour before Christmas dinner. I love Christmas dinner. Hands up if you love Christmas dinner. I know I mentioned the Christmas word in October. I know that's a banned subject at this point. Okay? But it's like imagine eating a packet of six donuts an hour before Christmas dinner. What a waste. What a waste of your appetite. What a waste of the space you have within you. Our spiritual, and I think the parallel rings true, that our spiritual appetites are so rammed full with what the world feeds us that we end up refusing to feast on God. We might need to come to terms with the reality that if we want to delight in God as fully as he deserves, that we need to go on a diet from the world. Being gripped by his goodness, such as stops us being greedy for the things that the world is offering us. Do you know that God is good? Do you understand how good he has been to you? I came across this quote from Richard Sibbes, which I thought was helpful. He said this: God's goodness is near us. It is not a goodness far away, but God follows us with his goodness in whatever situation we are in. He attaches himself to us. He has made himself close that he might be near us in his goodness. He is a father and everywhere to maintain us. He is a husband and everywhere to help. He is a friend and everywhere to comfort and counsel. His love is a near love. He has taken upon himself the closest kinds of relationships so that we may never lack God and the evidences of his love. I think us understanding the goodness of the Lord and how that has been shown to us is designed to be the catalyst to us being good, to a growing sense of being filled with goodness, that being satisfied in his goodness is the source of all goodness in us. So that's the first thing he is excited to see within them, that they are full of goodness. The second thing is that they are filled with knowledge. It's the truth part of this. It's the convictions part to go alongside the good character part. That happens when we are prioritizing time in God's word. It's seeking to know God better. It is growing our ability to apply God's word to our lives more fully. The thing about the word filled is if you basically take a jug of water and try to fill something up, where does it start? The water goes to the, what of the container? Does somebody tell me? Bottom. Thank you. There you go. Okay. It wasn't a trick question. Goes to the bottom. It goes to the bottom because it's, and that implies depth. So when we're being filled with stuff, we're looking to, the word filled by nature involves depth. It requires us not to be satisfied with a superficial seeking of God, but longing to draw more deeply from who he is by getting to know the truth that he has for us in his word. It's not distancing ourselves or thinking that's a boring thing to study something like doctrine. It's not settling for stagnating in seeking and searching God. It is rather being fueled by and fascinated by who God is. So whatever way we look at now, whatever way we look at this, it involves some investment of time and energy on your and my part. It is going to involve study, and it's going to involve time set apart to seek God in his word. So some forms that might take, making sure you have time in your day for God and his word. But it's also supplementing your daily devotional time with some other study time. Maybe it's a book, maybe it's a podcast, maybe it's listening to some sermon on a specifically looking at some doctrinal theme. Personal study of what God's word says about an aspect of God's character or his work. We're going to try and help with this a little bit. We're going to put out some recommended starter resources this week. But the goal is to be able to do what it is saying here, investing yourself in things that are going to equip you to grow you towards helping one another towards growing spiritual maturity. Because that's the third thing. Not only is he satisfied about that they're full of goodness, then they're filled with all knowledge, but also that they're able to instruct one another. So it's a fun thing to be able to instruct one another, but we need to be able to do it about the right things in the right way. For example, I can cut my hair, but you wouldn't want me to instruct you on how to do it like I cut mine, I'm pretty sure. Okay, maybe some of you that might be true for, but mostly not, okay? So the character piece and the convictions piece are the foundation for the community piece. And the community isn't just we get to come here and work on our social engagement and our social life. It's we get to come here and work in our spiritual life. We get to invest in the things of the Lord with one another. And that ability to instruct one another is built on the foundation of our character and our convictions. That by our way of life and by our grasp of truth, we are able to have strength or capacity to help direct one another spiritually. As we show one another with how we live, we tell one another with our capacity in God's word what to do and how to live. This instruction, it doesn't shy away from offering direction. That's the goal. That's what it means to be a disciple-making church. That's what it means to make disciples of one another. Growing in capacity to direct people towards living for Jesus in specific ways. And the goal of church planting and what we see happening in this Roman church plant is increasing godly character and deepening grounding in truth that produces a growing capacity for making disciples. And that's what we're praying for here. That's what we're praying for in air. That's what we're praying for praying the Lord would allow us to see happen time and time again as we plant more and more churches as the Lord allows us to do that. And it is him that allows us. None of it happens unless he allows it. The last two words of verse 14, the one another is significant here. It's describing something that is happening from one church family member to another. It isn't a matter of qualification or title or capability or capacity even. It's about just a willing heart to surrender ourselves and to offer ourselves to the Lord. How would you use me with the people you've placed around me? What seems to be happening is each person in church is growing in godliness and they're investing time in studying God's word, such as produces spiritual maturity and seeks ways to multiply that into the lives of those around them. Is that something you see as being worth giving your life to? Well, I don't even know where to start. Let's start by asking this. Is it worth figuring that out? The pattern of mission and the New Testament is multiplying churches that multiply those kind of disciples. disciples who make disciples as a result of churches planting churches. If we're going to be effective in planting churches, if we're going to be effective in pursuing the spread of the gospel, then that is going to benefit from being strengthened by have the necessity of us all uniting and personally choosing to invest in the pursuit of those things and the other things we're going to see this morning. And if we want to see that happening over and over again in our nation, if we look around in our nation and echo what John Knox said, give me Scotland or I die. That's what we long to see. If we long to see our nation, the spiritual gain, have ground gained for the gospel here in our country, then it's going to involve all of us playing a part in that. And it involves Harvest Glasgow not just being a place of your and my growing investment, but also a place, it involves it being a place of grounded truth. Is that better? I hear rustling in the background, and I hope it's not distracting you. Paul's desire for, so it's a place of growing investment, a place of grounded truth is the next thing we see. Look at verses 15 and 16. On some points I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Paul's desire for, his delight in those things in the Roman church gets to be our desire and delight too. And when that is our character, when that is our delight, our longing is to see those things multiply. Our longing is to look around the room, even as we're having tea and coffee, and observe one another and say, these are the things I want to see happening in the people I see in front of me just now. I want to see them growing in godly character. I want to see them growing in biblical convictions. And I want to see them growing in gospel community. The foundations have got to be right. And that multiplication is what Paul is hoping to see, not just in the church in Rome, but through the church in Rome and in many other churches being planted like the church in Rome. That's why he's writing the letter. It's why he is at times in this letter, as he says, written very boldly on certain things. It's why he's been abundantly clear in the gospel, why he's called out certain things and patterns that he's seen evidence of in their church. It's why it's because truth matters to the future of the church. A correct view of God and his purposes in the gospel and what it promises are key to the church growing healthy. So Paul says he wrote boldly, and he did so that they would be clearly reminded of the true things that they already knew. They knew the gospel, they understood the gospel, they just needed to be reminded because it's easy for us to forget. It was designed to help them find strength and grow confidently in the work of Christ and what it had achieved in their lives and was achieving in the world through churches like theirs. Bold communication of truth brings clarity and breeds confidence. If you could pray one thing for the preaching ministry of our church, that could well be it. Clarity and confidence. It would bring clarity in terms of what God's word says, and it would bring confidence in what God promises. He isn't telling them things that they don't know, but has sought to communicate these truths in ways and words that are aimed to ensure that they never forget. So he has, he says, been given a job, and here it is, to be a minister of Christ Jesus. That's his job, to serve them for Jesus by serving them with Jesus. And he uses this word, priest. And the job of the priest was really basically to encourage people to look at God, to love God, and to live for God. That is this priestly service of the gospel, to convey the truths of God in the gospel to those who haven't heard, in this case the Gentiles, so people like you and me. And here's the goal, that there would be churches who are gathering and offering worship to the Lord, that is the last few words of verse 16, acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Paul is saying that his acceptable to God is, if you like, the churches he plants and disciples that are made as a result of offering worship that is acceptable to God. Their acceptable worship is evidence of his acceptable worship. See, when we invest in biblical character, and when we invest in biblical convictions, and when we invest in biblical community and the people around us as part of a local church, and when we invite those around us to look at him and to love him and to live for him, then God is pleased with that, and the Holy Spirit is going to use that. So we're being invited to invest in something that is holy and set apart. That's what the word sanctified means. We're being invited to invest in something that is holy and set apart, something that is significant and significantly different from the worldly pursuits that our hearts are tempted to fill themselves with. We get to be a church, and we get to long to plant churches that are growing disciples who are living lives pleasing to God and living according to the purposes of God. We should note, though, that the work doesn't place the burden of results on us. Far from it. It's a grace given by God, and it is the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit that produces those things. You see, the church is to be a place of growing investment. It's also to be a place of grounded truth, because we long to be in and we long to see, as an extension of our ministry here, we want this to be a place where God is at work, and we want the churches we plant to be places where God is at work. Reminds me again of another thing we used to say at the beginning. If we can explain it, maybe God didn't do it. If we can explain it, maybe God didn't do it. Look what he says in verse 17. In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God. And we might scan along that sentence and consider taking issue with the use of the word pride here. But we should also remind ourselves that Paul often talks about the idea of boasting. If we understand that the work doesn't depend on us, and that it often happens despite us, usually happens despite us, we'd probably be better there, then that releases us to proudly observe what God is doing. This is our God. Look what he's done. We get to be humble about ourselves. We don't need to be humble about God. And we should know this, he's boasting in Christ Jesus. He's not seeking to claim credit for the content or any apparent achievements. He's saying this will only happen because of Jesus. This will only happen because of Jesus' work in me. It's only happening because of Jesus' work through me. Everything that's happened here is in Christ Jesus. It's basically whatever Jesus has given us to do, we're doing, but it's him that's giving us all the tools and all the resources, and he's the one that's producing all the life transformation. He's the one that's growing all the churches. He says, I wouldn't dare or presume to say anything other than that it has been Jesus accomplishing those things through me. It's happened because of Jesus, because in Christ Jesus. Verse 18, for I will not venture to speak of anything except what God has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God. So that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I've fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. He understands if we are to claim credit for something, then there's a good chance that if we're able to claim credit for something, then there's a good chance that Jesus didn't do it. There's always that potential. It could be a matter of manipulation or strategy or something like that. So when people look at the church, I want everyone to know that it was Jesus that brought it about. That's what he's saying. When stories are told about life transformation, I want it to be abundantly clear that these are stories that Jesus is producing. If people are celebrating people living in obedience to God, I want it to be abundantly obvious that it is the power of Christ at work and not my powers of persuasion or communication. It is his sanctifying work, not my strategic prowess. That's what Paul's saying. I want to be investing in things that make it obvious that Jesus is building his church and are evidence of his promise that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's what I want to invest in. I want to be investing in things that can only be explained by this. Jesus Christ did it. If I did anything, it was Jesus working through me to do it. In fact, evidence of Jesus' power is that he could even use someone like me to do it. That's what Paul is telling us. That's what we all get to see. Paul is telling us that Jesus is doing this church building work through the words and works that he is producing in his people in surprising ways that blows our minds, signs and wonders. If you want evidence of that, if you want to see evidence of that, just spend some time looking at the book of Acts. by the power of the Spirit of God. It's God at work. That's what we desperately want to see. We want to be a place where God is at work, planting places, other places, other churches where God is at work. So Paul is reflecting on how he is seen and how he now gets to glorify God for how he has seen him grab the spiritual attention of people and transform their lives and transform their eternities. And when we get to be part of that, when we invest ourselves in being part of that kind of work, we get to see that kind of life transformation happening. The word is going out into the world. The gospel is bearing fruit all over the globe, like Colossians 1 says. Look what he says, Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum. Okay? It's not just Jerusalem and Illyricum, it's all the way around, There's multiple, this is happening in multiple places, and we might observe that too, even as we've seen people coming from this year from Romania and from Pittsburgh and from California and from the United States and from Scotland. We get to be part of that. Here's what I think we often miss when we read our Bibles. New Testament ministry was through church planting. The other thing we miss, and it never really occurs to us, is that every church was once a church plant. Every church had a launch Sunday at some Sunday. It may have been 250 years ago, but every church started as a church plant. You see, the gospel spreads by breaking new church ground. Families of God being placed all around the place for gospel spread. And we get to play our part in the ministry and serving the gospel of Christ in this way of playing our part in more churches being planted that are rooted in the character, the convictions, and the community that God's word calls us to. And that God, by his Spirit, is creating in us and among us. A place of gospel investment, a place of grounded truth, a place where God is at work. Last thing, a place of gospel reach. Look down with me, would you, into verse 20. And thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation, but as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. And thus is easy to skip over. He's saying, because of what I've seen happening from Illyricum all the way down to Jerusalem, because of what I've seen in you, my friends, in this church in Rome, because of what I've seen of the growing character, convictions, and community that are rooted in the gospel, and how I've seen the Lord growing churches I love, and they're looking at Jesus, and they're loving Jesus, and they're living for Jesus, well, that makes me want to see more. That gives me an appetite for more churches being planted, more, the gospel spreading more. And in fact, Paul is actually asking for their help. He's looking for help to actually take the gospel to Spain. He wants to go from Italy to Spain. He's hoping the gospel is going to reach there. That's what he's hoping to see ultimately. So not just Illyricum all the way around to Rome, but Illyricum all the way around to Barcelona. That's what he wants to see. And then from Barcelona, where? Do you head north? Maybe into further into Spain or into France? Maybe head further west into Portugal? For sure, the gospel is spread through church planting so that we have heard the gospel here in Scotland today. We get to be part of that. The Lord going forward. Want to see that happening. My ambition, he says, my ambition is this. And we get to share that aspiration. We get to invest ourselves in the same mission as Paul is talking about here. To preach the gospel in new places and according to the New Testament pattern among new churches, not building in someone else's foundation. Looking for new churches that are going to reach new people who don't know Jesus for Jesus. That's what we get to be part of. That's what we're inviting. That's what we, as a church, we want to be inviting one another towards. That's making this verse into our passionate prayer. Well, what verse are you talking about? Well, this verse here, Verse 21, as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand, making that verse into our prayer. Here in Glasgow, may those who have never been told of him see, and those who have never heard understand. But not just in Glasgow, down in Ayr, as Harvest Ayr meet and seek to thrive there and to reach people with the gospel there, among our partner churches in Barrie and in Bucharest, in Indianapolis, in Lancaster, in Niagara, in Parrish, in Pittsburgh, and in Rockland. In places that the Lord might lead us and allow us to plant more churches as we move forward on mission. We've talked about as we run this advert for a church planter, people ask, where's next on the hit list? Where do you want to go next? I say, I don't know. We don't know. We're asking that the Lord would bring us somebody who's learning location and launch team ready. They've done their biblical studies. They've done their theological studies. They're trained and equipped with how to open God's word and to preach and those things. We're not a theology school. We're a church plant finishing school, if that. We're asking them to come location ready. We want them to come somewhere where they say, this is on my heart. My prayer for this place is that there are people in this town or in this city who have never been told and have a long that they would see. They don't understand the glories of the gospel, and I want them to understand. They've never heard. I want them to understand. And they've already got a launch team ready. They've already got a list of people who feel similarly passionate about that place as they do. So that's why we say in places that the Lord might lead us and allow us to plant more churches as we move forward on mission. That's what we're longing for. That's what we're praying for. Lord, let those who have never been told of you see you so clearly. May those who have never heard and understood, may those who have never heard the gospel understand the joy and worth of following you. Are you willing to invest your life in that? I don't know, I'm kind of busy. I'm not sure if there's a cost. Being a place of gospel reach is never going to happen without an element of gospel risk. Are we willing to bear that together? Investing our lives, investing in truth, investing in God's work, and all of that, and this is what we want to be about, that all of that adds up to us investing in God's glory. Is there anything better to surrender your life to invest your life in than that? Let me pray. Band are going to come and lead us in a last song after that, and then I'm going to pop up with just a couple of practical ways for us to be involved in these things. Father, we do pray that you would meet with us just now, that this would move beyond what was hopefully something that excites us about the church planting, to consider our own hearts before you and the kind of character and the kind of convictions that you're seeking to grow within us individually and the kind of community you're seeking to grow within us together. Father, we pray that you would give us such a passion for the lost, such a passion for your glory, that you would stir us by this idea of praying, that those who have never been told of you would see, and those who have never heard of you would understand, that we would pour ourselves out in pursuit of what you invite us to, this mission you instruct us towards, the great commission your Son commanded us in. So, Father, we pray you'd help us, that you go ahead of us. Father, we pray that we would do so with all the humility that Paul demonstrates here, and through that you would work in ways that would defy even our prayerful expectations.